Now, accession number 670, Alan Clark.
Mr. Clark, reel one.
Why did you prefer service on small ships to big ships?
Well, there's more discipline on a bigger ship than there is on a smaller ship, I think, anyhow. And got a lot to do with it. You see, each ship, like your Portsmouth Division, Devonport Division, Chatham Division, they talk about racial discrimination now. Well, there's racial discrimination then, because a Portsmouth rating didn't have much time for a Chatham rating, and a Chatham rating didn't have any time for a Devonport rating, or, as the clock went round, sort of thing. And especially like when they used to have regattas or anything like that. Oh, it used to be, well, it used to be terrible. They used to say 80 devils to guts. A Portsmouth rating had no time, as I say, no time for Chatham, anything like that. And often there used to be one or two punch ups ashore between the different depots,
But as was there any other sort of unofficial styling of uniform? What about sort of different widths of your trousers and things like that?
Well, we used to like the wider the better, I think as far as I gather, I think the proper West End was about 24, 26 width. But we used to go, especially when we're younger, 30, 32, to be in the. As I regard the width of your trousers that used to get away, they then used to weigh about, but they did. Instead of finished like these white fronts and your hats and all that kind of thing, and your lanyard, we used to make it. So it's four stranded lanyards. They are really official, but we used to make it into a three and make a slip knot, so you said you could slip it up and have it right across like this,
From shoulder to
from
shoulder.
shoulder,
Instead of
just in front, yes, But you wouldn't be allowed to wear it like it on board ship or anything like that. But that was all those sort of things used to make us. And you used to have to bring your bow, your hat, see right in front of you. Somewhere like this, you see, make it look, dandy sort of thing. Oh yes,
And have the name on the side.
And well, it's on the side here, so yes.
Yeah.
All those sort of things.
Was there any other kinds of unofficial styling other than the ones you've mentioned?
No, I think that's about the only thing we used to get up to.
Yes. Now, was maintenance and repair of uniform your individual responsibility?
Yes, oh yes, you just keep up with done yourself, or, oh yes, same as your collars, you see, which was, you had the three stripes on your collars. Always the, if when it say the tape's broken, you have to take those tapes off and sew on new tapes, three separate tapes. Of course, now I saw a sailor the other day, it's all in one piece now. But it used to be three original tapes. But on most ships, then, of course, you could buy already made uniform and that kind of thing. But on most ships, they used to have what they used to be called a dewing firm. I don't know where the dewing firm, where they got the name from, but they used to make your suit for you. You used to pick up.
Suppose they think all tailors are Jews.
That's where the main compliment is. But you used to pick up what they call, the name was called slops from the cloven story. So you used to make out a slop, what they call a slop chit, once a month. You could get uniforms. But majority of people used to get the suits made. You see, to make a sailor suit used to take 6 yards of serge.
And this would be done by a jewing shop.
There's one of these couple of sailors, they call themselves a jewing firm. They used to make, they'd run it up for you and make it for you. They used to charge you 6 shillings.
Would you buy the material?
Oh yes, see what used to happen, you used to make it what they called a slop chit. And this, whatever it came to, well, you took up, you get what you like, you know, serge, shoes, boots, or because you had to buy all your, each had to buy all your own clothes, although you've got a small clothing allowance. what you spent would be deducted from your monthly wages. And then if you were in debt, well, of course, if you spent too much, well, it's up to you then to see you didn't spend too much, but if you spent too much, it would be stopped out of your, out of your monthly wages. The same as, actually, like Vitland as well, you see, we used to have to buy all our own food.
Yeah. Sorry, before I lose the track of this, you were saying that you would get the material for a new sailor suit from... On a chitty.
Yeah.
And then you'd give it to the jewelling shop and they'd run it up for you.
Yeah.
I see, yeah. Your first issue would be free, presumably.
Oh, your first issue, yes.
But any subsequent issue, you had to pay yourself.
I had to pay yourself, yes.
Yeah. Mm. You could buy a whole uniform or you could get a uniform run up. Was
run
that
up,
the choice?
Yes. Mm.
Which did most people do?
Most of them used to get it made.
Why was that?
Well, you could... Most of the... Well, it's like you go into a shop now and get it... A ready-made, if you get a ready-made suit, it's not so good as you get a tailored suit, is it?
Mm, I see. Mm. And for this, you'd pay another 6 shillings to have it run up?
Have it run up, yeah.
Mm. I see. The people who did it aboard ship, the Jew boys...
They weren't actually Jew boys, that's why you
no,
took up the
yeah.
Jew firm, yeah.
I understand that. Mm. That this would be a sort of alternative source of money for
money
them.
Money for them, yes. Mm.
It was rather unofficial, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, although they know it. You know, they were allowed, but, you know, it was what they made, there was like their own perk sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about the various jobs you had, starting off with the work you did when you were on the Impregnable.
Mm-hmm.
And you've mentioned to me that one of your tasks was scrubbing decks. What did that involve exactly? Describe it for me.
Well, they used to be... Oh, say about 12 or 49, well, what according to the width of the ship, I forget why she wasn't there. We lined up across the width of the ship with a long-handled scrubbing brush. And then there'd be a man with a hose in the salt water and he'd just scrub away. That was every day that happened, except Saturday. Well, Saturday was the special day when you used to holy stone it. You get on your hands and knees, would roll up your trousers, and a great, what they call holy stone, big, well, it's a big bit of, like a big piece of rock. And the decks were wet, they used to wet the decks and throw sand all over, and you'd go up and down with this lump of rock, you know, trying to get the decks white. And they used to wash it down afterwards with the hose, you know, all the sand off.
Mm-hmm. And scrubbing the mess decks, would that be done in the same kind of way?
No, well, the mess decks were more or less, because most of all those were, the mess decks were stained, you know. And that you still need to do that with hot water and what is soft soap. It was sort of a brownish soft, well, like soft soap all melted up sort of thing, you know. You used to do your messes with that.
How would you do it? What was the method of using it, this soft soap?
Well, the mess decks on those old Impregnables used to take it probably up to about 16 tables. The tables used to scrub the top of your tables first off and the benches, long sort of long seat. And you'd hoist up the tables to the ceiling. And they'd scrub the floor, the mess deck, you know, on the same procedure they do the upper deck. These long handle scrubbers and this soft soap mixture, you know, will mix off hot water.
I see. Was there much brass aboard the ship that had to be polished?
Well, the actual, of course, it was wartime I'm talking about. Actually, most of the brass was painted over, you know. I suppose so the enemy aircraft wouldn't see it. There wasn't all that much brass to be done. Probably the ship's bow and the handrails on the on the companion ladders.
What would that be done with?
Well, they suggest to use a... Well, we used to make... I don't know what they used... Tell you the truth, I don't know what they used to use on the training ship. Because I've never done the prata, but... We used to... On the seagoing ships, we used to make our own polish.
How'd you do that?
I used to get... sort of a sandstone, a chipper had all this sandstone up, and mix it with terps or methylated spirits in a big bottle and shake it up. And that used to be good, you know, it used to be wonderful stuff for cleaning brass with.
Now tell me, generally, what were the procedures during paying off?
Well, of course, there, this period, it was really much in there. All happens there. You, what do you call paying off? You get all that. Any back pay duty, it's all paid up to you, and you, then you just sort of discharge back to the barracks, go back to your different depots. But a ship on the foreign station, it's a proper ceremonial sort of thing. You know, it's a big thing.
Describe that for me.
Well, you know, the only ship I actually paid off from was the Southampton. That was, we were on the East India Station, of course, when we were paid off from there. We was transferred from there to the Birmingham, which she was all the old crew. Well, as I say, you don't get all your pay, all your money. You don't get paid when you get back to barracks. But when you leave harbour, you have this great big paying off pennant. Oh, maybe about 80, 90, 100 feet long, you know. There's a big balloon tied on there to keep up in the air. It's a hell of a long thing. And, of course, we had a band on board. And it's a proper, as I say, naval ceremony. The captain on the bridge said, "All ready, Mr. Brown, whoever his case may be on for, all ready, sir." And he aft. "Already off, Mr. Jones?" "Yes, already off, sir." "Right. Let go forward, let go off. Play up the band," and the old band plane's rolling home. England and all this lot of baloney, you know, and Auld Lang Syne, they play, and all. Any ships in the harbour, three cheers for the old HMS Southampton screw and all. Oh, it's all a proper palaver.
Now, another aspect of your work which interests me is coaling. You served on two coal-fired ships, one of which was the Southampton, and the other one of which was the New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
What was the lower deck's attitude to coaling?
Well, of course, the New Zealand was a different thing, or different kettle of fish altogether, because that was wartime, didn't it? So it didn't matter say what time you arrived in harbour, you arrived in at 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You still had the coal ship because the collier would be there ready to come alongside her. I'm not going to say everybody was happy about it, but it used to be, it was like a competition really, you see, because it was the four ships in the squadron, the Australia, New Zealand, Indomitable and Inflexible, that was that squadron, that second battlecruiser squadron. Well, you might have to get in and say, I mean, each ship averaged about the same, you see, about, say, 1,000-odd tons. Well, it was a competition. Who could coal ship first? And there used to be all eight, you see, to the coal ship.
Can you describe the scene for me, the work that was going on aboard New Zealand when you were in process of coaling? What would happen from the beginning to the end? Tell me it as a little story.
Well, yeah, the collier would come alongside first off, naturally, and get the derricks out. Most branches had their different jobs. Now, naturally, the stokers, they would be trimming the bunkers and seeing the coal wet down all right. And most of the seamen, they would be on the in the collier, filling the bags and working the winches, sting up on board. All the singlemen and single staff and the radio and wireless and those kind of people we'd be on our bat on the we were on a barrow, you see. The sacks, we'd push them along, tip them up into the thing for the stoker to see them and to head down the bunkers, and we go back from the forwards. But the boys, we never used to never used to mind it really, because it was really I don't think it was an Admiralty permission that the captain and the lieutenant used to allow the boys to smoke, you see, while we were calling. So we used to enjoy it. We didn't mind calling. We could walk when we were flagging our mouth.